good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all on this sunny day. Please do spare a thought for Ken's son-in-law, who is, as we speak, running in the London Marathon in, I think, what will be record temperatures. So let's pray that James gets round in one piece. Now, I wonder, I think probably looking around the room, most of us are old enough to remember the BT adverts of the 1990s, starring Bob Hoskins of Who Framed Roger Rabbit fame. And you may remember at the end of each of those adverts, Bob Hoskins had his famous catchphrase, "It's good to talk, it's good to talk." It was one of those annoying yet memorable catchphrases that stuck in our minds 20 years ago. But of course, it's true, isn't it? It is, generally speaking, good to talk. Communication, after all, is an essential part of any healthy relationship. For example, imagine a child who didn't speak to his or her parents at all. A child who never said please or thank you when their mum or dad gave them things. A child who never expressed an opinion or a preference about anything. A child who never told their mum or dad what food they liked, what games they enjoyed, what their favourite toys were. A child who was completely silent. Now, we might think that child was a very ungrateful child, and perhaps he or she would be. But it would certainly be a very sad state of affairs. If a child never spoke to its mum or dad, we would think there was something seriously wrong with their relationship. The child's parents could be forgiven for thinking or wondering whether their child really loved them, whether their child trusted them or even liked them. So it's no surprise, therefore, that the Bible encourages us as Christians, as God's children, to speak to our Heavenly Father in prayer. The Bible tells us to communicate with our Creator, to speak to our loving Lord and Saviour. Even Jesus himself prayed frequently and fervently to his Heavenly Father during his time on earth. And of course, he gave us the Lord's Prayer as a model and example prayer for us all to imitate. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember that we began our series in prayer by thinking about the value of praising God when we pray. Ken reminded us, didn't he, of the value of thanking and praising God for his goodness, his greatness, his grace, his power. We thought about the value of simply taking time each day to give God the glory that he rightly deserves. As Christians, it's right and proper for us to praise our Heavenly Father, to adore him, and simply say to him in prayer, "Hallowed be your name." But as well as praising God, another aspect of prayer is asking God for things. Asking God for things for ourselves and for others. And the technical term for those two types of asking prayers is petitionary prayer and intercessionary prayer. Petitionary prayer for ourselves, intercessionary prayer for others. And I think if we're honest, petitionary prayer in particular is the type of prayer that comes most naturally and easily to us. It's very easy for us to pray to God, asking for things that we want. But why should we ask God for things? Is it right to ask God for things for ourselves and for others? And if we do ask God for things, what things ought to be top of our list when we ask for things from God? That's the sort of questions I want us to think about today. But before I dive in, let me ask God for his help as I preach. Father God, we do thank you for the privilege of prayer. And as we think about asking you for things in prayer this morning, help us to understand how and why we should ask. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So then, why should we ask God for things? Why should Christians ask God to give things to us or to other people? Well, I think the simple and first answer is that we are simply encouraged to in the Bible. As we saw in our first verse of our reading from 1 Timothy this morning, we are urged to pray as Christians. We are encouraged and urged to make intercession for everyone. Jesus himself also encouraged his disciples to ask God for things. For example, in his famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You see, Christians can ask our Heavenly Father for things because he is good and because he is great. In other words, God is generous and he is almighty. We can pray as Christians to God with complete confidence that he is both willing and able to answer our prayers for any genuinely good thing. And when we ask God for something in prayer, we're also showing him what's on our heart, what our priorities are, what is causing us most anxiety at the moment. Sincere prayer is the ultimate stress reliever, you might say. As it famously says in Philippians 4, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And then comes the great promise we all know, I'm sure. "And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I often think that some of the Old Testament Psalms are wonderful examples of honest, heartfelt prayer. The Psalms, if you look at them, include countless prayers that ask God to intervene in the lives of individuals and in the lives of nations. The Psalms are littered with heartfelt requests for God to judge evil, save his people, and release the oppressed. See, honest, heartfelt prayers for God's help also express our dependence on him. They are spiritually beneficial prayers to pray because they remind us that we are not self-sufficient. They remind us that no man is an island. They remind us that we are not sorted on our own. You see, when you think about it, pride and petitionary prayer are fundamentally incompatible. A proud person will never get on their knees and ask God for help. A proud person thinks they can manage quite all right on their own. But a humble person, a wise Christian, a child of God, knows that they depend on God for everything, even for our every breath. And so let's develop the humble habit of asking God for whatever we truly need. It will keep us from pride and remind us of our dependence on our Heavenly Father. So it's good then to ask God for things. We can be confident that he is willing and able to give us good things in answer to prayer. We can be confident that petitionary prayer will reduce our stress and help us become more humble. But what then should we be particularly praying for? What things should top our personal prayer lists? Perhaps today we should be praying for friends and family in the marathon, or perhaps in my case for Crystal Palace to survive in the Premier League, or maybe we'll all be praying in the summer for England to win the World Cup. Or maybe it would be wise to pray for the winning numbers in next week's national lottery. Well, maybe, but maybe not. There is a truth, I think, that in one sense we can ask God for anything that is truly good. We can ask God, I think, for simply anything that will genuinely benefit ourselves or others. And so I don't think, therefore, there's anything intrinsically wrong with praying for a car parking space, or for a new job, or for better health, or for anything else we honestly think we need. After all, the Lord's Prayer tells us, doesn't it, that we can pray for something as simple and basic as our daily bread. So I think any kind of well-intentioned prayer is permissible in theory. Any kind of sincere request to God is okay, I think, to ask. But the Bible in general, and certainly today's passage in particular, suggests that we should have some particular priorities for prayer. There are some things that should regularly reach the top of our prayer list. And I've summarised them for us this morning as good government, personal godliness, and gospel growth. Good government, personal godliness, and gospel growth should always be at or near the top of our list of prayers. Let me explain what I mean. Firstly then, good government. Good government. Because in verse 2 of our reading this morning, we're told to pray, aren't we, for kings and all those in authority, so that we might live peaceful and quiet lives. In other words, we're to ask God, I think, to help our political leaders. We're to ask God to give our political leaders the wisdom they need to rule with justice, mercy, and righteousness. Certainly our own government in the UK needs our prayers as it wrestles with the challenges it faces. Challenges of terrorism, Brexit, and the Syrian civil war. But most of all, I think we should pray for governments across the world, not just in this country, that they will preserve the freedom of Christians to follow Jesus and share our faith with him. We should ask God to protect Christians' liberty to live peaceful, godly lives and share our faith with those who don't yet know Jesus. So please do pray for Christians experiencing persecution in communist countries and in many parts of the Middle East, for example. Ask God to turn the hearts of those nations' rulers so that the rights and liberties of Christians will be respected there. Do look at the website of organisations like websites of organisations like Christian Solidarity Worldwide and of Open Doors to inform your prayers for the persecuted church. So pray for good government in this country and around the world. But as well as praying for good government, we should also be praying for our own personal godliness. Personal godliness. Verse 2 of our passage this morning urges us to pursue a life of godliness and holiness. And in verse 10, Christian women are encouraged to clothe themselves with good deeds. Good deeds appropriate for those who profess to worship God. Now, being godly, being holy, means, in short, living more like Jesus. It means showing more of the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Fruit like love, joy, kindness, peace, patience, perseverance, and self-control. And surely those are great things to ask God for. Those should be top priorities to seek from God. Do pray when you ask God for things that God will get to work in your heart and mind and in the minds of our Christian brothers and sisters so that we increasingly bear good fruit in our lives, so that we increasingly and progressively become more like Jesus. Pray for character change in ourselves and in our Christian brothers and sisters. In fact, it's true to say that being godly and becoming more godly is even more important than being physically healthy. Now, don't get me wrong, of course it's good to pray for sick friends and relatives and to ask that God may graciously heal them. But it's even better to pray that God will use someone's illness to make them more like Jesus. You see, prayers for healing may extend someone's earthly life, but prayers for someone's growth in godliness, prayers for someone's conversion to Christ, will do them good for eternity, not just for this lifetime. There is no better prayer to pray for someone that they will come to know, love, and trust the Lord Jesus, whatever their personal and physical circumstances might be. So we should pray for good government, for personal godliness, and thirdly and finally, we should urgently ask God for gospel growth. Gospel growth. We should pray for more people to become Christians and for Christ's church on earth to grow, for its borders to extend continually, for new ground to be reached with the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus. What that means for us, I think, is that we should be asking God to open the hearts and minds of our non-Christian family and friends, asking God that he will open their minds and hearts to understand and believe the good news about Jesus. We should pray that God will give us good opportunities to share our faith with our non-Christian family, friends and colleagues. We should ask God for the courage to make the most of those opportunities when they come our way. So that's three G's, three priorities to ask God for: good government, personal godliness and gospel growth. And when you think about it, when you add them all together, you get another G, don't you? God is glorified. God is honoured and glorified, you see, when his people are free around the world to follow Jesus. God is glorified when our own personal lives look more like Jesus. And God is wonderfully glorified, isn't he, when non-Christians are wonderfully converted and put their faith in Christ. That's a wonderful prayer agenda, that God will be glorified as people are free to follow him, come to faith and look more like Jesus. Let me finish this morning by assuring you that God always answers our prayers. At first glance, that may sound a little bit optimistic, but it is true. If we are Christians, God always hears our prayers. Our Heavenly Father never falls asleep. He never gets distracted. He never loses interest in us, his children he loves. Our Father in heaven is always, always attentive to our prayers and will always respond to our prayers rightly and wisely. Now, of course, God's answers to our prayers may not always be exactly what we want or expect. God's wisdom and goodness means that he will answer our prayers in the right way at the right time. He will always give us what we need, if not always what we want. Often people say that God's answers to our prayers are a little bit like traffic lights. Sometimes God's answer to our prayer will be red, a red light, meaning no, because for some reason our prayers might be sinful or selfish or unwise or wrong in one way or another. At other times, the answer we get from God might be like an amber or orange traffic light, meaning wait. Our prayer may be right, but the timing may not yet be. And thirdly, sometimes God's answer to our prayer is green, go, meaning yes. And every mature Christian in this building today, I hope, will be able to testify to wonderful answers to prayer that they've seen in their own lives. But even when God does say yes to our prayers, his way of answering them may not always be exactly how we might expect. For example, he may answer a prayer of ours to heal a sick person by giving them patient endurance and inner peace rather than immediate physical healing. God's answers to our prayers may surprise us in other ways too. I love this well-worn story of a man who was stuck on a rooftop during a flood, and he was praying, asking God to help him. Soon a man in a rowboat came along and the fellow shouted to him, "Jump in, I can save you." But the stranded man from his rooftop shouted back, "No, no, it's okay, I'm praying to God and he is going to save me." So the man in the rowboat went on. Then a man in a motorboat came by and he shouted to the man on the roof, "Jump in, I can save you." "No thanks," said the man on the roof. "I'm praying to God and he will save me. I have faith." So the motorboat sped on. And then thirdly, a helicopter came and hovered overhead and the pilot shouted down, "Grab the rope and I will lift you to safety." But again, for a third time, the stranded man replied, "No thanks, I'm praying to God and he will save me. I have faith." And so the helicopter reluctantly flew away. Eventually, the water rose above the rooftop and the man drowned. He went to heaven. He finally got his chance to discuss the whole situation with God, at which point he exclaimed, "I had faith in you, God, but you didn't save me. You let me drown. I don't understand why." To this, God replied, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat and a helicopter. What more did you want?" Now, that's just a story, but there's a real truth in that. Because when we ask God for things, we're not engaging in magic, but in a real relationship. And when we pray to God, we're not issuing orders that he must obey. We are making a request to an all-wise, loving, and all-powerful Father above. Be assured that our good God will always respond to our prayers. He certainly always hears them. But his answers may not always be what we expect. We need to be ready for some unexpected answers. His answers may be like the traffic light. It may be no, it may be wait, it may be a wonderful yet unexpected yes. With that in mind, why don't we pray to him now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you do love to hear the prayers of your children. Help us to have the faith and humility to ask things of you in faith and in trust. We especially pray for greater godliness in ourselves and in our Christian brothers and sisters. And we pray for the growth of the gospel, the growth of your kingdom in this parish and far beyond. And we ask all our prayers that your name may be glorified. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.